The people demand we give them one. After a week of waiting, the time has come.
Drucky, you're social distancing, you're at home?
Just dealing with all the cool kids you're doing, you know. Staying at home.
I mean, you know, it's not just the cool kids. Like,
it's a trend, Matt.
No, it's not something that's just trending. Like, you should be.
When you look back at 2020, that's what you're going to say that the new hotness was in 2020 was staying at home.
Right.
That was look at these guys in their uncut hair staying at home in old 2020.
Right now, at this very moment, Drunks at his home.
Dildos are not essential items. Books for kids, yes, but dildos? No.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, Coach T, Jaguar Impressive, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello, welcome, good evening.
Guys, also joining us is Matt. Hello, Matt.
Why do I get the hello, hello, hello every time?
I don't know. It's our little thing, Matt.
All right.
And guys, Drunkard STL on the Twitters is here. He's via Skype. He's social distancing. Drunk, how are you doing, Drunk?
I'm very well. I gotta say, I love the way that man says Dido. Dido's.
Dido?
Like, there's no L in the word.
What are you talking about?
The entrance where the guy doesn't.
Dildos?
Dildos are essential items.
Dildos? Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We have quite a show for you tonight. We're going to be joined after the break by Richard Cook. He is a VFX man. He's worked on a lot of movies. He has a new one. Hey, Matt. That Gold Dust, the movie that he's promoting, it's a fun little movie.
You liked it?
Yeah, I did. It's for the whole family, I think, Matt. Like, there's men with guns and they point guns at people, and so you may think, oh no, this isn't for the kids. But they don't. There's no violence. It's fine. You show it to the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, there's guns in E.T. the Extraterrestrial, so...
There's guns in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, right?
Man, I need to talk to you about your friend David Langille.
Okay. I haven't talked to Langille in some time.
Matt, are you...
Langilio, as he was known on the Lotus cast.
Are you familiar with the regional convenience store chain Cumberland Farms?
Oh, God, yeah. Back when I was driving a lot, and I would love to eat food at gas stations. Cumbies, as they like to call it up here.
Is that what they call it? Cumbies?
Fan. Yeah, they say, oh, you want to go to Cumbies? Or you want to let's stop and get, you know, something at Cumbies? Yeah, Cumbies is short for Cumberland Farms.
Now, Drunk, I don't know if you remember this, but...
Is this similar to a Wawa?
Not as good as a Wawa where you can go in, but they are trying to like class up the place to be on par with Wawa. So yeah. it's better than a 7-Eleven, a lot cleaner than a 7-Eleven, but not as sophisticated where you go in and you got the touch screens. But I will say that like the food that you can get there, the ordering, the coffee, all the drinks, everything is pretty pretty good. Nice. I like their food a lot.
Now, Drunk, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2013, we spent a great deal of time talking about Cumberland Farms. They did a promotion where they were selling a David Hasselhoff-themed coffee called Iced Hoffy. And what was going on is they had promotional items in the store, like cardboard David Hasselhoffs, and people kept stealing them. Like they had like a crazy amount of Hasselhoff theft at their locations to a point where they were doing like news stories about how they couldn't keep the promotional items up because people kept stealing them. And I made the point, this was way back in 2013, Drunk. It was a long time ago. It was episode 112. I looked it up. So, I mean, we've
done a bunch of Germans and whatnot.
Many hours of programming since then. But, what I said then, I'll repeat now. If you're having a hard time keeping people from stealing your Hasselhoff cardboard cutouts, just start selling them. Sell them for $10. People will probably just buy them.
Probably 20, 25 bucks.
The position that I'm in, Matt, is your friend Lang Hilio. He was a filmmaker, but he stopped making films.
Correct.
And now I think he goes to flea markets and buys junk and then tries to resell the junk.
I have to say that I'm a little
a man after my own heart.
Yeah, I know.
Is that what he does? Is that a pretty accurate description of what he does?
Oh, 100%. I'm a little jealous of what appears to be like his lack of stress. And I don't know if he goes through a lot of stress doing what he does. He seems pretty happy, but he scours flea markets and yard sales, and he finds like old toys and old anything. Like, yeah, Travis, you would love it. His Instagram is always kind of a fun thing to...
Oh, he chronicles this journey?
Yep, yep. Oh, and then wonderful. He sets up shop at a flea market, the Raynham Flea Market, I think is what it is. And he, he sells his shit. And it's called...
That's all he does?
That's all he does for a living, I think. Again, I don't really talk to him a lot.
So he's basically a picker.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
So a couple of months ago, Matt, he posted that he...
Look at his junk, is
was
what
it's in...
Or look at my junk or something.
He owned a large David Hasselhoff iced toffee cardboard cutout.
Yes.
That he was going to be taking to his flea markets. And at the time, I replied in all caps, "I must have that. Name your price."
Yes.
And he ignored me.
He didn't name a price?
He did not name a price, Travis. What he wanted to do is he wanted to sell it at his flea market.
That's easier than shipping it.
But months have gone by, Travis. And then he said something today or yesterday. He was like, "Oh, well, I haven't been able to sell it at the flea market. So like, make me an offer for it." And it's like, well, Lang Hilio, why don't you just tell me what you're willing to sell it
for?
Yeah,
I can't do make me an offer.
Because I mean, how would you even value something like that, Travis? Like, how would I know even what to say to him? Like, what he wants is,
tell me what you're trying to sell it for at the flea market, and I'll give you less than that.
And the other thing is, how are you going to transport a gigantic David Hasselhoff cardboard cutout to me in Missouri?
Those all fold up.
I was about to say, they fold in quarters.
You think?
Yeah. Guaranteed, because I have cardboard cutouts in my studio here.
In his basement.
Yeah, yeah, they all fold up.
Because I want it. I want the giant Hasselhoff.
Travis has that Bieber fever, and he's
absolutely. No, I got a Britney Spears. I got a George Clooney Batman. I have a Bruce Willis brisked iced tea.
Bruce Willis had iced tea?
He was...
you don't remember, though?
The
Die
Hard, the claymation.
I think I remember that.
The show on MTV with the boxing.
Yeah, the Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah.
He did, he did Brisk commercials as
So, I mean, Travis, as a man who dabbles in this field, what would be a number that would make it worth it to Lang Helio to get this iced toffee off his hands?
It's a pain. It will be a pain in the ass to ship, especially if you want it to show up in decent condition.
But do I get a friend discount? Because me and him are such great. I follow him on Instagram.
Free shipping.
It's going to cost like $20 to ship that fucking thing.
Oh.
Well, I'm saying. That's,
I thought he was keeping it. Like, to be
that's
honest
when
with
he
you.
Counters. I, he asked you to make an offer, and he's the man that has
see,
to come.
Listen, if I had that Hasselhoff thing and I couldn't sell it at the flea market, I'd have it in my home and I'd keep it in my living room and I would dress it up for every holiday. I would like put a Santa hat on it for Christmas.
Kevin McAllister style. It's on the fucking train tracks.
Absolutely. I'd have that. He'd be wearing like 4th of July bandanas and shit.
What's the price?
$50.
You think $50?
I've seen cardboard cutouts in resale stores before where they've wanted, you know, and they're in rough shape and they want, you know, $50-$60 for it or whatever. And if it's in good shape, I'd say $50 if he's going to ship it for free.
Travis, I'll tell you, if I, in the parlance of our times, Travis, in the uncertainty of our world, if I paid $50 for a large cardboard cutout of David Hasselhoff holding a thing of coffee,
your wife would kill you.
Probably get divorced.
Is he shirtless in this cardboard cutout?
No, he's wearing like a tank top.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Nah, drop my offer down to $30. I'm Matt, thinking shirtless Hoff.
You know, last week
thinking leather jacket myself, but
Matt, last week we talked to Lou Brutus and he shared a lot of rock and roll stories. And I was thinking all this week that we really missed an opportunity to ask you if you had any rock and roll stories that you could share with Lou Brutus. Like, you know, because Travis, there was a time, I don't know if you know this, that Matt, he was out slapping a da bass.
Matthew was a rock and roller.
Matthew was out, he was out slapping a da bass.
I don't know that I would put myself on par with like any of his stories. You know, he's got real rock and roll stories.
He said at one point that you guys know, like when you're backstage, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I know. I'm really, really cool. I know all about the backstage life. Matt, was the backstage, was it just crazy? Was there people doing blow on butts?
At the time, we got to play some pretty cool shows with some big bands for the time, but it was never cool. Like, we never got a lot of perks. I remember one show that we played where we got a ton of perks. It was this girl's birthday party in Florida, and we were on tour, and she really wanted our band to play, so we got on the bill, and she paid us really good money. And then, like, everything was taken care of. There was a hotel to stay in. We had a limo for the day. They took us out to eat. Like, it was the only time that I felt like an actual true rock star, so to speak. But
did you get any birthday cake?
Other than that, we got birthday cake. Other than that, it was everything was a struggle, man. Like, we got the tour and it was fun and touring was cool, but you know, you barely made any money at the gigs. You had no money to basically just enough to pay for gas. We rarely ever stayed in a hotel. We were always begging for places to sleep. Or we were sleeping in the van, and sleeping in the van was miserable because it was fucking hot. And, it wasn't glamorous and it wasn't amazing, but it was a lot of fun. Like, I look back at all of that with pretty fond memories. I got to see a lot of the country and play some pretty cool shows. So I didn't care about trying to make rent. I didn't care about, like, I lived with my parents.
Matt, did you ever throw a tube television set out a window?
No, nothing like that.
Did you ever poop on anyone?
No, no, we didn't. No pooping on anybody.
Matt, did you have long hair and go long periods of time without taking showers?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's rock and roll, dude.
That happened pretty frequently.
Travis, you have any good rock and roll stories? I figured I'd go around the horn and ask. No. No.
Trying to think of my best rock and roll stories.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
We got to play Warped Tour a couple of times. That was pretty sweet.
You played Warped Tour?
Yeah.
That's fun.
On one of the side stages?
Ernie Ball. The Ernie Ball stage.
Who's that? Should I know who that is?
The Battle of the Band stage.
Was Vans still sponsoring it?
I think Vans sponsored it.
Do you get free Vans when you play Vans Warped Tour?
Not at all.
Wouldn't that? Isn't that the dream?
You don't really get anything.
You get a free elephant ear from the concession stands, at least.
Yeah, you get a voucher, Matt.
Nothing was free. No.
No. Mm. Oh. Drunk. Mm. Rock and roll stories for you, Drunk?
When I was in high school, I went to a corn-stained concert.
As a spectator.
Yeah. There was a bunch of ladies that decided to flash the Jumbotron that day. That was pretty cool.
Oh, you got to see some boobies?
A lot of boobies, yeah.
Matt, when you were slapping a DaBass, did you see boobies?
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty good at talking the ladies into showing their tatas.
And then you married one.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
Kind of cool. Lackluster, I'd say. Travis, would you call that segment lackluster?
No, I was riveted.
Travis,
what about you, Mike? What happened at the Smashing Pumpkins concert? I know you've been to about 50 of those.
I went with my mom.
So backstage was probably pretty crazy that night, huh?
Nope. No. And I'll tell you guys, there was this one time that we went and saw Tantric, and the ladies that were sitting in front of us at the end of the show, they wanted to go have sex with Tantric.
Oh, was that pre or post Days of the New? Because didn't they Days of the New?
Well, there was Tantric, no pre Days of the New. New.
Yeah. Tantric again.
Days of the New fired all of the guys. And then they went and started Tantric with a different guy.
Oh, and then I thought they became Days of the New again.
Oh, yeah. And then they broke up immediately. Like, they scheduled a whole big tour and they did like two dates. And then they were like, no, we're going to break up again.
Yeah, I guess this doesn't work either. Guess it wasn't a couple of guys.
So these gals, they wanted to go have sex with Tantric. And so they asked my friend to hold their purse because they can't keep their purse while they go have sex with Tantric. So they gave him like $20 in singles and asked him just to hang around and watch their purse while they go have sex with Tantric. And like, they didn't really wait for a response. They just kind of gave him the purse and then they went and went backstage with.
Do I know this friend?
Yeah, it's Chris.
Oh,
wow. Chris is just sitting there.
Did you guys then immediately leave with the purse?
No,
that particular friend is too nice to do that.
Yeah, I think that we waited a couple of minutes because I think several of us were finishing beers anyway, and then he was like, "Well, I'm just gonna leave this here on this table because we're not gonna wait around for them to get done having sex with Tantric." And so he set it on the table and we left. We gave it a good couple of minutes drunk. We were trying to be nice, but I mean, how long do you really wait?
I would have rummaged through it and taken all the valuables. But.
Well, I would at least look through it. I mean, you got to check it out.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to talk to Richard Cook after the break. And he's got a movie. It's called Gold Dust. And I'm telling you, guys, it's for the whole family. It's for the whole family. So
Gold Dust, like the wrestler?
No, it's a movie called Gold Dust. It's like actual literal gold dust.
Like the drug.
Oh, is that a drug, Drunk?
Pretty
Matt,
sure, right?
Matt, when you were in a band and you were on the Warped Tour, did you guys ever do any gold dust?
No. No, there was no illicit drug use.
Did Blink-182 offer you some gold dust at least?
We never hung out with Blink-182.
Is there a band called Gold Dust?
Gold no, there's Finger. A song called Gold Dust Woman.
Rock on, Gold Dust Woman! Did you sample the cocaine?
No.
You've never sampled cocaine?
No.
Even in your rock and roll days?
None of the days, no.
Huh.
Matt, you guys didn't like drive around in the van and say, man, life on the road is hard. I think I need to try me some of that cocaine.
Oh, we got to get to the next town, bandmates. Let's do some cocaine so we can get there. We'll drive all night.
Like, I was always really good at like getting things or like getting free things. So like whenever we would arrive at our venue, the first thing that I would my goal was hopefully trying to find us a person that would let us stay at their house.
So you just like grift into town and start looking for somebody to let you sleep in their basement?
Oh yeah, 100%. I would start talking to like chatting people up, and then
where would you meet people at that you would ask them this? Like at gas stations and stuff?
When the people start coming to the venue, you know, we'd talk to other bands and see where they were crashing, but you know, it's not polite to try to saddle up wherever they're gonna be staying that
Hey,
night.
Where are you guys staying? Also, can we have some cocaine?
Right, and that just didn't.
You never rode the dragon, Matt?
I did not.
That's
I believe that'd be Chase the Dragon.
Yeah.
It's not
cocaine.
Strange Mabel. Amber Alert. Amber Alert. Hey, Ontario, get out of bed. It's time to check your phone and see if you've seen this child. He's missing, and he's probably in a van, and it's probably a guy, and he's got a mustache. So stop him! Go outside, look out, and say hey! Put that kid back! Woo!
WFOD! Who cares about the Congress? Who cares about the separation of powers? Who cares about the Constitution of the President? I'm the President of the United States. I have all of the power. I have all of the power.
Yeah!
I have all of the power. I have all of the power. I have all of the power. The power.
Once again, WFOD, wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Our guest tonight is a VFX producer who's worked on films like Independence Day, Deep Blue Sea, Men in Black. Seriously, check out the IMDb on this guy. His latest is a Wild West comedy adventure called Gold Dust, available on DVD and VOD April 7th. Richard Cook is on the program. Richard.
Hey, who am I talking to?
Mike and Matt are here. Travis would normally be here, but he thinks he has the COVID, so he's not coming.
Ooh, yikes.
He doesn't have a fever, so.
Okay.
We're hoping he's just regular sick.
He does have a really dry cough and difficulty breathing, and he's loopy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's
not
doing
good.
He's doing a lot of WebMD-ing, which is.
There you go.
They pretty much just tell you all the time. It's what is it usually, Matt? Cancer or Crohn's? Isn't that what it usually?
You know what I told him to do? I thought it would make him feel better. I told him to just go for a walk, like get out there. You know, go to the grocery store. you know, I think if you just get out of the house, you might feel better.
Mingle with people.
That's what I've heard, right? Like get back to work. You know.
Yeah, the best medicine is hugs, right?
Hugs, right? Oh dear!
Always said
bodily fluids. Yeah,
Rich, we were talking before you jumped on here. Godzilla wasn't a bomb, was it?
No, it wasn't a bomb. It made a lot of money. People hated the script, but no, the movie did really well.
Yeah, I mean, it made its money back for sure. I'm sure it made less than they had hoped, but I wouldn't call it a bomb.
They probably spent over $100 million in marketing. I remember standing on top of the World Trade Center in 1997 because we had flown. Roland Emmerich directed that. He flew us all to New York to attend the premiere at Madison Square Garden, and there was like 14,000 people there. And I mean the poster was "Size Does Matter." You may remember that.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I remember standing on the World Trade Center, looking over across towards like the Chrysler Building, and there was a building there. No joke. Half of it was covered in a "Size Does Matter" poster, oh, and I was like, "God!"
I'm a huge Godzilla fan as a kid.
Yeah.
And when they announced that movie, I was so pumped, and. You know, me and my nerdy Godzilla friends, like my mom, I remember my mom driving me to see that movie, and a few of them were so disappointed with the way that Godzilla looked. I was thrilled. I thought it was really cool. My mom owned a pet store, and I had like a lot of lizards and stuff like that. And when this like iguana style like monster appeared on the screen, I remember like I thought it was so freaking cool. And I thought a lot of the just the appearance of that particular Godzilla was fun.
Well, it really it was a different look. And I remember going to Patrick Tatopoulos's office. He was the production designer. He now does like directing, and he's done a lot of amazing work since then. I worked with him on Aliens The Aliens for Independence Day. But Patrick Tatopoulos was like studying and made us as a visual effects house study the way lizards walked. And so we were watching hours of nature footage of all these lizards walking because we had to get the animation right for all the baby Zillas.
Yeah.
And I remember going into his shop and he had these like lifelike giant baby Zillas, like 8 feet long, lying on tables. I have some pictures of this because I was taking pictures for the textures for the CG baby Zillas, and just walking in there, it was just like, oh my gosh, their eyeballs were as big as, you know, like cantaloupes. And it was just phenomenal, the realism. And it's such a shame we don't really do that much anymore. I mean, there were guys in suits in that movie, literally walking around, especially in the egg scene at the bottom of the Madison Square Garden. A lot of those, we made a lot of them CG, but actually there were a lot of those that were interacting with the characters that were literally like men in rubber suits. And that was kind of like the last time we ever did that. Now everything's CG, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun to work on something like that where you actually got to interact and touch and feel creatures that you got to see in the movie that they were real, you know, in a lot of the scenes. So we just, you know, I miss those days.
So when it doesn't go well and people are pissed off that he doesn't look like Godzilla, you're like, well, no, but he looks like a lizard. Like, were you trying to defend him or?
Yeah, I was, you know, because I knew what he was after and we nailed what we were after. So we succeeded in our own goal, whether people accept, you know, there's always going to be those purists out there that are like, no, it has to be exactly what the old comic or TV shows were. But in this case, you know, it was a next generation. It was something new. I think people would have expected that. It would have been kind of comical to have a big, fat, you know,
guy in a suit,
back and forth, Stay Puffed Marshmallow.
Oh, of course. Godzilla,
you know, so I do think that we made the right choice.
You know, the thing that I really loved about that movie, too, especially the marketing leading up to it, is you didn't see Godzilla before the movie came out. You didn't know what he looked like. You didn't know what you were walking into until he appeared, like maybe a third of the way through that movie. Like that movie, you didn't see the monster, the entire monster, until the movie was well on its way. You know, you got to see brief little glimpses of a, you know, kind of a face or the back and, you know, him coming out of the water. And I thought that was so cool. And we don't get that anymore at all. Like marketing, they can't seem to wait to blow their load to show you like the punchline of the film, right? Like what's the ending going to be? Here it is. We don't want you to be disappointed.
Well, that came out of the Spielberg playbook. You know, remember E.T. was never seen before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And it was such a big deal when you first saw that image of the E.T. character. And I think Roland Emmerich was smart in how he, you know, managed the marketing. Well, you know, it's TriStar Sony, but you know, at some point you really lose that sense of mystery. Some point during the marketing, you know, it's like you said, they shoot their load immediately. Some of these trailers go from beginning to end. They tell you the whole story.
All of it, and yeah.
It's so upsetting to me when they do that. I often like to watch movie trailers after the movie because it's like a nice recap.
Yeah, but I've stopped, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
When Marvel started to really ramp up, you know, and I'm still really into Marvel films, but I stopped watching them. Like I would watch the teaser just to see what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
And then after that, I would avoid them like the plague, just because I wanted it to be fresh. I wanted to get in and, you know, hear that punchline or that joke for the first time instead of seeing it 50 times prior to the release. So
yeah, and that happened on Lock and Key. I just came off that project, a visual effects producer on that. And, you know, the trailer was great, but oh my gosh. I mean, it showed all of our work, like pieces of it, right? I was like, you're going to show the shadow creature, you're going to show the ghost, you're going to show it. It's like, well, there's nothing left, you know? But, you know, the story was good. People enjoyed the series.
Oh, it was great. I watched, I think I watched that in just a few days. Like, just.
Oh, you binged the whole thing?
Yeah. I my wife and I just got sucked in.
Yeah, it was well written, you know, and Joe Hill, you know, he's got an amazing following with his graphic novels. So we knew we had a built-in audience on that one. So it was a fun one to work on, knowing it was going to be successful. They just greenlit season two. That's in the works. I think I can say that.
Hey, exclusive, Matt.
It was a great show.
We got exclusive.
Season two.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that's actually public knowledge now. So
we actually had a letter said, don't talk about it. So we're glad you brought it up.
As a VFX supervisor, I guess, do they come to you like with their ideas and say, hey, I want a ghost with a big goofy face, and then like you have to facilitate that?
That's right. So I'm on the producing level, so I handle the money and the schedules and the vendors and those relationships and timing and all that. The supervisor handles the creative, and Wojtek Zielinski was our visual effects supervisor, so he handled all the like, okay, let's aid the director, the showrunner's concept of what a particular character would like, and throw out ideas, get the vendors to come up with some concepts. We call them look devs. And then, you know, once the showrunner is happy with that, it's up to the visual effects supervisor to really see it all the way through into fruition, and a certain amount of creative input. But when you're working with such a strong supervisor as Wojtek, you really don't need to handle much of the creative at all, which, you know, I enjoy that. I have another life in independent filmmaking, which hopefully we can talk about a little. But on the visual effects side, as a producer, I primarily handle the financing, the money, the schedules, dealing with the vendors. And we had like, I don't know, 30 vendors on that TV show. It was insane. We're going all over the place, from Nepal to Spain to Denmark. We had a bunch in Canada because that's where everybody shoots, and it's where a lot of the vendors are these days because Canadian tax credits, right? So it was an interesting project because it was just so diverse in the people I got to work with. It was a lot of fun.
So yeah, Gold Dust is the movie that you're promoting, and I watched it today. My internet crapped out yesterday, so I had to watch it on my phone, which wasn't ideal, but I enjoyed it. It's the guy with the quiet guy with the like the baton and stuff that
The dancing killer, we call him
the dancing killer. Yeah.
Well, it was a lot of fun because, you know, that's a project I've worked with David Wall before, who wrote it, directed it, and he plays Fink in the show, and he's so creative, and he brings all of that creativity to the set and all the way through
post-production. Guy looks a lot like Robert Redford, doesn't he?
It's funny because he went to Sundance years ago, and he kept telling people, no, you know, because they kept wanting to take pictures with him. He's like, no, I'm not Robert Redford. Well, after the first day, he was so tired, he just started
taking pictures.
So somewhere there's like, I don't know, 20-30 pictures of people with David Wall thinking it's Robert Redford. I kept thinking
that through the whole movie. I was like, God, that guy looks like Robert Redford through the whole thing.
Yeah, we thought about marketing it with Robert Redford's name, but I think there might be a problem with that.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't dig that too much. So on that, you're just a financer on that?
Well, I was partially a financer, my company, Oculi Entertainment, as well as the producing entity. We lined up the distribution. We kind of put all the money together, and then I helped David, you know, with the schedule and mainly getting, you know, everything just wrapped up and done business wise. He handled creative, and he is just so he's a class act. He's very, very experienced, knows his stuff. He's a true leader on the set, and you know, when you got problems and you're shooting in the desert for 40 days and it's hot and there's a bunch of, you know, amateur kids running around, it takes a real strong personality to get everybody, you know, rowing the same direction. And he did that. And it's a beautiful, I think he did a phenomenal job with the movie.
Yeah, it seems like they did a lot with what probably wasn't a lot, you know, like they spent their money well, because it looks like a large movie when I imagine it probably wasn't.
Thank you for that, because that's honestly the feather in our cap, because, you know, I was doing an interview earlier today on the movie, and I was like, you know, I've really done the full pendulum swing. You know, I've worked on $100 million movies. I've spent, you know, $200,000-$300,000 on a single shot. And, you know, and, you know, back
that's just
in the
90s, crazy. That's crazy to even say, isn't it?
And back in the 90s, that was not uncommon. We had rooms with computers that were the size of refrigerators. You know, we had teams of people working on a single frame. You know, we had, I remember the Godzilla scene with the ship, the cargo ship, where Godzilla's torn a hole in the side of it and it's sitting beached in Hawaii. It wasn't there. You know, they just took a helicopter, shot the beach, and we dropped that ship in there. We built the ship, dropped it in there. It took us 3 weeks to track that shot just to get it dropped in. Now kids do that on their laptops in a day.
They
actually
do it on a TikTok,
do it on their phones with an app.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And that's what happened with Gold Dust, is we were able to get these young kids with laptops that just did this amazing visual effects work. And, you know, we did sky replacements. You may notice a lot of nighttime scenes in the desert. That was all day for night. So we shot it during the day. We then darkened it down. But when you do that, the sky just goes black. Well, then we had these guys drop in, you know, stars and a moon and
wait,
and
so the night stuff was shot during the day?
Yeah. Thing was shot during the day. There's no nighttime shooting in that movie at all. We didn't have the money for lights.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, you see a nighttime shot. It was all shot during the day. We added those stars, but these kids added, you know, they probably did 200 day for night sky replacement shots, and they look great.
See, what they call that, Matt, is movie magic.
So the old movie magic, yeah.
That's
shoot
right.
It during the day, and then they make it nighttime is what they do.
So it was a lot of fun to work on that one.
So those two characters, I mean, that's a rife for sequels, right?
Absolutely. Fink and, in fact, David's already written a sequel. He's written, I think, 4 episodes of a series. So we're hoping that this, spans on for a long time because it's ripe for that. You know, I think it's a good time to focus on internet TV for obvious reasons. Our timing is interesting. I mean, I hate that we're having to deal with this virus.
Right.
But, you know, people are at home watching movies right now, and we never intended for this to go into the theater. So we kind of bypass that straight into a digital platform. And, maybe it's good timing. I don't know. I wish it were under better circumstances, but it might be good timing for the movie.
So, guys, the movie is called Gold Dust. It'll be on DVD and digital April 7th.
Yep.
You can pick that up, check it out. And guys, when you're watching it, all those night shots, they were during the day.
Yeah. A lot of fun. A lot of fun shots in the movie.
Are you on Twitter or Instagram or something? People can reach out to you, tell them they heard you.
Yeah. So there's a Gold Dust movie Facebook page. There's also a Gold Dust movie Twitter page. You can just search that and you'll find the movie and follow that for updates. We're dropping little clips here and there, trying not to tell the whole story, but there just to give in little bite-sized chunks. Look us up and follow us. It'll be on Amazon and iTunes and a lot of great places.
Cool. Rich, we appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
Do it again.
Absolutely.
Sometime.
Enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
Fear, for the city is ripe with it.
The city is what?
Ripe.
I don't think that's right. Gold bars in the sand, jewel cups, black pearls, bags of gold dust. How many bags of gold dust did you say, Fink?
$600 million, give or take.
See it against the rocks? What is it?
That's not on any of our maps.
What the?
We should leave it.
No, we're not leaving it.
And we should get out of here.
Maybe we should just camp here till morning.
No, we can't. Whoever lost this money is gonna come looking for it. So the sooner we get out of here, the better.
Where's my money, my tuka? You got my big cedars. So where's my money? Oh, and where's my last boy?
Deep down, we both knew you were trouble by design. And the echo of my mother's words, baby, don't you play with fire.
Carol fucking Baskin.
Guys, welcome back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. If you didn't pick it up, me and Matt recorded that interview at a different time. So,
why are you pulling back the curtain?
Should I not pull back the curtain? Guys, forget I said that.
Curtain?
I think at the beginning of the interview, Travis, we mentioned that you weren't there.
Oh. So, okay.
Just clarifying so the people aren't confused. Travis,
where the hell did drunken Travis go?
The people, they get confused sometimes. Travis?
It's true.
We forget sometimes what the show is and what all the rest is. And I think that the people, Travis, sometimes they get confused.
I think it's all the show to them.
Maybe it's all the show to us. Is it all the show to us?
That's deep, man.
When is it not the show, Travis?
I think it's always the show.
Huh. Drunk, when's it not the show?
I'm always on show mode.
Did you get Larry the Cable Guy yet, drunk?
Yeah, drunk. Are you getting Larry the Cable Guy or what?
I've been listening to, like, the Barstool Sports I listen to on Sirius a lot. And all of the shows that are still actually functioning on there, they're getting a lot of random guests. And I know it's a Sirius radio station, but it just seems like all of the people they're getting for guests, they're just, like, bored as shit at home. And they're just so happy to be talking to anybody, even if it's just on the phone.
You say it's the perfect time to be booking, Travis. Is that what you're
saying?
It's
the perfect time to be shooting for the stars, I think.
I don't know why you're trusting drunk with this, though. It seems weird.
I just feel like I wanted to give him a task and during this pandemic. You know, they say you have to develop like a routine or like a goal or you're just going to kind of melt into nothingness with this pandemic and the stay at home.
Still essential, so I do kind of still have a routine.
And I also am essential, and I get that too. But when you strip away everything but work and home, it can get a little rough. And I just was thinking, hey, man, I will say this, I do miss the
bar being open for sure.
Just like going out to a restaurant once in a while. You know, we don't do it. I got two little kids, so you know, we never did a lot, but you know,
I'll tell you who was excited to talk to us was that Davion guy.
Dacian,
not Davion. I'm sorry. Dacian.
He was excited, you think, drunk?
You could tell. You can tell.
You know what, drunk? He gave me some. See, now, when we invite musicians on the show, okay, just we're pulling back the curtain. Let's pull back the curtain. When we invite musicians on the show, we want the musicians to play a goddamn song is what we want
them to music.
We want them to music because they're musicians, right? You know, I mean, look, I'll say, hey, when's your album coming out? We'll do the whole song and dance. But I want you to music. You music guy. And so I invited him on the show and I liked him. He was a nice guy. But I wanted him to music drunk. And right. he messaged me. He's like, oh, man. I don't have my music stuff here with me. I swear to God, drunk, you look at that guy's Twitter and Instagram. Guy's playing a goddamn guitar every 5 seconds. He's like, oh, I'm so bored here. I'm going to play the guitar. I'm going to play the whole first Fallout Boy album. He did. He's like, guys, I'm going to play the whole, get on live stream and play the whole, but he wouldn't music for us, drunk. He said he didn't have his music stuff. See, you know what I say, drunk? I say bullshit. You had your music stuff. What are you?
Listen,
are you Dacian? Are you shy?
I'm not even a musician, and I have an acoustic guitar and a bass guitar here that I don't know how to play. So you're telling me a musician doesn't have musical items?
Yeah, I don't know what. Do you remember that band we had on that one time, Travis, who said that they were going to play, and then, like, you know, it got time to for me to say, so, man, you guys going to play something? He's like, oh, no, I got a sore throat. Fucking guys.
So, Matt, are you going to play a song for us?
Matt, just slap at a bass for us, Matt.
I will not slap at the bass.
Is it rude to ask, Matt? Like, am I being a dick if I'm like, hey, music guy, play me a little ditty. Is that insulting to them?
Listen, when we were in a band, we would have given every opportunity for exposure, and I don't know if that's different now. Like, oh, all right, well, we already have all of the exposure. I can go on and do Facebook Live when I want, and I can stream and do whatever.
But you're introducing them to a new audience.
Oh, of course. I mean, I would kill. Like, if somebody said, all right, we're gonna have you on, but we want you to play a song, I'd be like, of course.
Matt, let me tell you something.
Please.
I'm gonna go ahead and give you guys my pick of the week.
Okay.
No, you very rarely go first.
Travis, many years ago, have you heard of a band called the Decemberists? I mean, they're not like a secret band. I think people have heard of them. They put out an album called The Hazards of Love. It is a complete, it's like a concept album, like from start to end. And this has probably been my pick of the week before, but I was thinking about this goddamn album the other day, and I was thinking, you know what? I love this album. I listen to it like whenever I think, oh, man, I haven't listened to that in a while. I go back and I listen to it on Spotify, and it's weird that I don't like own a physical copy of it. And so I purchased one. I purchased a CD version off eBay for $3, and I got it in the mail today, and it's not in great shape. But yeah, that's my pick of the week, guys, is the Decemberists album, The Hazards of Love. It's not new, but give it a listen. But you got to listen to the whole album because it's a concept. They all tie together. It's really like one. Like
what's it called again?
Floyd's The
one
Wall.
Piece. It's called The Hazards of Love, Matt.
I'll check it out. New music. I like a good new album to listen to.
Well, it's not new. It's old.
Oh.
It's like 2010 or something.
Yeah, but I don't think I heard it. So I've heard it.
It's new to you.
New to you. It's new to me. Drunk, pick of the week.
Drunk's pick of the week is iced toffee from Cumberland Farms. Go get you a nice tall cup of iced toffee.
I was looking Hello? For it so I could tell you guys what year it came out. I just had it down here. What'd I do with it?
I'm not going to be happy until Mike owns that David Hasselhoff stand-up.
So you think $50?
I don't know. Is that worth it to you?
I don't know.
I'm going to feel like what it's worth, you know. What
2009.
You.
I was close, Matt. It is 2009.
That's
like
as old as my daughter.
Hey, you know what?
It's a year older than this podcast.
Oh,
Matt.
Yes, sir.
So you're out slapping a DeBase. Were you guys smoking the ganja?
Not really, man. The most that we ever did was just obviously, you know, have a few drinks at the end of the night.
Are you sure you weren't a straight edge band?
We were not.
A couple of stacker twos maybe to stay up on the tour bus.
You guys like weren't popping magic mushrooms?
Absolutely not.
You've never had a magic mushroom?
Just wasn't our thing, man.
A Red Bull, perhaps?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. A couple Red Bulls here and there.
Whoa.
A Monster energy drink.
Whoa. Matt, pick of the week?
You know, my pick of the week is it's going to be the Better Call Saul. Really enjoying this
so good
new season.
Episode was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. A big fan. So. If you haven't been watching it, or if you've been thinking like, oh, no, it's just as and every bit as good, I think, as Breaking Bad.
Matt, I imagine that the majority of the cost of the Hoffy cardboard would be to ship it. That would probably be the expensive thing. So maybe you could just get it for me and just like a send me a picture of it every now and then. Like I'll give you $20 to get it from Langell, and then just every now and then take a picture of it for me. Like you put it up in your bedroom, make it your headboard.
No, you do a Zoom meeting with it.
I'll just talk to the Hoffy cardboard.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Travis, pick of the week.
Yeah, Travis's pick of the week too is also an older piece of entertainment. The series Banshee, the Cinemax original programming, which ran for four seasons, is now available on Amazon Prime for free. It is fucking amazing. The premise is an ex-con gets out of jail after 15 years, goes to this small town called Banshee to reunite with his lost love, only to find out that she's married and has kids. A series of circumstance lets him con his way into being the sheriff of this small town. And it is just insanity upon insanity. Every single episode, this dude is getting in fights where his face is bloody, and immediately after that is hooking up with the hottest broads on the show. He sleeps with everybody. He fights with everybody. One episode after the next is one crazy premise after the next crazy premise.
Just out but fucking and fighting, huh?
He's fucking and fighting, and there's like... It's just, I mean, he's fight. It, I can't even explain this to you guys. There's so much ridiculous shit happening from episode to episode. It's like its own singular action movie from episode to episode, while also having like a cohesive storyline running underneath it. Banshee is, I can't believe it's taken me this long to find it. It stars the guy who plays the awful Homelander on The Boys, and also a bunch of hot chicks and some other familiar faces. It is so good. I highly recommend Banshee.
Guy's like a
check it out.
TV Chris Pine, isn't he?
He looks like it, you know, and it's super funny because I knew this guy was the guy who played Homelander, and he does such a good job as Homelander in The Boys where you just can't stand that character. And it took me until about episode 3 to remember that it was the same guy, because he plays such a different character in this show, but he's fucking oozes cool. That guy is awesome. Anthony Starr is his name.
So he's really cool.
Oh, he's fucking just so cool. That's how he's able to sleep with every broad in this show.
You think?
And it's a Cinemax show too. So don't watch it around your kids, because when I say he sleeps with these gals in this show, it's pretty much full on Skinemax for 5 minutes at a time. It is wonderful.
I like it. Wonderful.
Wonderful. I bet he's probably taken some magic mushrooms at one point or another.
Probably.
Guys, did you see that? I figured I'd bring this up, Travis, to see what you think. Trump announced today that he's going to defund the World Health Organization.
Fucking guy. This fucking guy. Yeah, gotta pass the blame. We're not gonna give those fuckers any money. They fucked up.
Great timing, right?
Yeah, let's defund the World Health Organization during a pandemic. We're gonna see what they did wrong. Let's let this play out. Fucking knob. Hey, have any of you guys gotten your stimulus checks yet?
No.
Not yet.
Me neither.
I know a couple people that have.
Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Yeah.
I thought it was a hoax there for a while.
So it's coming.
Oh, so they actually are coming?
Yeah. They're supposed to be deposited. You're supposed to wake up one day and then there's that sweet, sweet cash, but...
How do they know where my bank is?
Did you see that story of the guy in Michigan who was looking to see if he got his $1,200 stimulus and the federal government accidentally put $8 million in his account?
No, what? I wish that would happen to me.
Yeah, me too. And I would not report it.
Do you have to give it back, though, right?
Oh, they'll find it.
Yeah, $8 million, they'll find it. But I think I can blow through a sweet 1.5 before they do.
And be like, no, I only got 6.5.
Yeah. Somebody hacked my account. Just tell them that.
So then what'll happen is, like, you'll blow through the 1.5 and then they'll like try to put you in jail, and then you'll say, no, that's you gotta
fine. Honestly,
let me
I
out
could
it.
Spend $1.5 million. I'll take whatever jail time.
I know throw. Where you're going. Then you're gonna say, let me out. COVID's around. Yeah. I don't wanna be in jail right now.
Guys, I don't wanna be in jail right now. There's COVID. I'll be like, he's got a point.
Let him go.
We'll just let him out. Put him on house arrest.
Yeah. And then once they let me out of jail, I'll file for unemployment and collect.
You just start. I just get it out of an ATM and just start burying it. It's like dig holes and put them in lunch boxes all over the place.
Oh yeah, you get one of those geocaching apps, so you can just you know where all your shit's buried and, just by using your cell phone.
Yeah, and then you tell them, oh no, I bought stuff, and then like, what are they gonna put you in jail for a little while? Okay, and then you get out and you go find your lunch boxes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Put me in jail because you assholes made a clerical error.
Right, I bought 5 jet skis.
Right. I'd just say I bought $1.5 million worth of groceries for myself and my neighbors.
Lost it all right. Playing poker. guys, I mean, that was a show. It's over now, guys. So we'll do another one next week, right? Right, Matt, do another one next week.
I think next week, yeah.
And I will do. We'll do better then.
I thought we did fine now.
I don't know, Matt.
Well, you're always striving for greatness, so you're always trying.
You know,
trying to do
Matt.
Better.
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. I'll tell you what, though, it's pretty fucking sweet that Travis called out the song that I ended the show with. That's pretty cool. He called it out earlier. He knew what was coming.
Oh yeah,
drunk. We did it, drunk. And you social distanced.
I did.
Yay! Guns out, funds out.
I said it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Carol fucking Baskin.
Lots of good stuff happening It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
I liked Rich.
I like Rich.
I thought that he was creative, but
well, I think that he does both.
Oh, it didn't seem like that. It seemed like he just handles dollars.
He's a dollar guy. Deal. He's a visual he was part of the team that did Independence.
I mean,
Day.
He scheduled the team.
Look, Matt. Every little piece, you put it together.
Important. I understand.
You make yourself a nice pie. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I'm one of those guys.
Matt, if you got a whole goddamn room full of creatives who all want to give Godzilla a hat, there's got to be a guy that says, we can't afford a hat.
Appropriately, because you know that if you schedule Susan with Larry, they're probably not going to get along, and they'll fuck up the digital effects. So you schedule them, you know, at different times. And you got to get the vendors in place. I understand it all too well.
The guy has a storied career, Matt.
Dude, I'm not very accredited. I enjoyed his stories about Godzilla.
Matt, the guy worked on fucking Cliffhanger. We didn't even ask him about Cliffhanger.
I didn't even know about that. Get him back on the
horn. Matt! The guy worked on 16. Virtuosity. You remember Virtuosity?
I don't, but I remember Cliffhanger.
Matt, let me tell you. Virtuosity, Denzel Washington.
I remember.
And Russell Crowe as a bad guy. You know, Russell Crowe is underutilized. The people, they don't think about Russell Crowe that much, and they should. Right. Russell Crowe is a bad guy in fucking 1995's Virtuosity, Matt. Incredible.
Listen, Russell Crowe came out, did Gladiator, greatest role of all time. And then he did that fucking boat movie. And then it was like, oh, God.
You know, I have not gone back and watched I bought the boat movie on DVD. Because I just assumed, I mean, Russell Crowe boat movie, I'm going to love this movie.
Yeah, it's the weird little pirate thing, like Captain and Commander or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I bought it. I watched it once. It was not good.
It's not a good movie.
I haven't watched it again, though. Maybe I was just in a bad mood that day. Like, I didn't like Thor Ragnarok the first time I watched it, but now it's fine.
Boat movie with Russell Crowe. Not great.
You know, like, the first time I watched Suicide Squad, I didn't like it, Matt. But
don't
like,
say it.
I've seen it a couple
movie.
Times on cable since then, and it's still not good, but I enjoyed
it's
it more.
Still
than...
a sack of shit. It is a steaming pile of shit. Don't you dare
Matt.
Give that movie one compliment.
Oh, Matt.